When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I am Alex Hoban, winner of Series 1 of Channel 4's The Circle, and this is Dishonest Fun, the official Circle podcast. Each episode, a panel of celebrities, comedians, and experts help me delve into the fascinating world of human behaviour, on and offline. Consider this your spoiler warning. If you haven't watched episode 12, what are you doing? Go and watch it on all four before we give the game away. Today, we're talking about influence. Being an influencer is the holy grail of the circle, but as they say, with great power comes great responsibility. What qualities make someone influential? How can we influence people in our daily lives? And just how crazy is influencer culture? With me to answer these questions and many, many more today are internet sensation and comedian Manya Chihuahua. Welcome, Manya. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Absolutely blown away by maybe the first time my name has ever been pronounced correctly on anything. So thank you.
My heart dropped then. I thought, oh, I suck this.
She's got a blue tick and she's not afraid to use it. It's DJ and presenter Ariel Free. How are you doing?
Yeah, you got my name right as well. Well done for not calling me
Look
Ariel.
At
this. Yes, smashing it, Alex.
And influencing us all with his knowledge bombs, it's our resident neuroscientist, Ash Rampura. How are you doing?
I'm really well. It's good to be here, Alex.
Awesome. Welcome, guys. So to kick things off, we do this every time. Basically, you guys give me a fact about yourselves. It could be true, it can be false, it could be anything. And I get to ask one question and decide whether I think it's true or false. Ariel, if we start with you, give me a fact about yourself.
I used to be a foot model.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
How do you get to do that? Are there jobs where you go in and have like a job interview for it?
Yeah, you basically go in and have your feet photographed. And they find out if they like them or not. And then you go in, you put some shoes on, they take some snaps, and then there's like tens of thousands of pictures of your feet all over the internet trying to sell shoes.
I don't know why I'm asking like I could ever do it, because I have the world's crustiest feet. So there's a fact about me.
When I tell people that I am a foot model, the first thing they do is look at my feet. But you can't see my feet, so you guys are at a disadvantage.
I feel that if you've used it that many times before and you're that knowledgeable about the world of foot modelling, I'd say that's true, in my opinion.
I was a foot model.
Yes!
Wow. I kind of gave the game away there by saying I used to say it to other people.
I'd
be terrible in the circle.
Fair play. Okay. You heard it here first. Well, probably not, actually. You told everyone else. Manya, how about yourself?
Well, I'm going to double up on model banter and say that I once turned down a modelling job worth £2,000 when I was a kid, because it involved me eating a cake with nuts in, and I was allergic to nuts.
Ooh. Okay, that's actually quite a difficult one. So how old were you when this was the case?
Maybe like 7 or 8.
And you were the one that made the decision to turn it down, not your parents?
Yes, I think my parents probably made the decision, because knowing that I had a nut allergy, they probably realised that me dying for £2,000 probably wasn't worth it.
This is true.
How long did it take them to reach that decision is what I'd like to know.
A little while, because It wasn't a full-on bite into the cake.
It's a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money.
What nuts are you allergic to?
All of them, except coconut. But the thing is, it wasn't a bite into the cake. It was just hovering around the rim of the cake with my mouth. So potentially, I could have done that job, because basically, it was a dinner party. It was a birthday party.
I'd make my kid eat the cake.
Yeah. So imagine the scene. It's a birthday party. There's kids, everyone. Some are frozen like this, cheering. Some are frozen. And I am meant to freeze with my mouth around this cake, but not eating the cake.
Did you have to be the front and centre? You couldn't have backed off a tiny bit, like a few metres, and been like one of the...
Very, very specific casting. It's like the same as turning up to a foot modelling shoot and going, you know, can I do elbows today? It just doesn't work like that, does it?
How badly do you react? You need an EpiPen?
I mean, I've got EpiPens. I've never used it because I'm afraid of needles, so I sort of just firm it. I generally, my voice tends to go an octave higher, maybe a couple of octaves higher, and my throat does itch, but, you know, that's the worst of it. And I get terrible cramps as well.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm...
But we didn't know this. We didn't know this at the time because I was a kid, so I hadn't eaten many peanuts in my life at that point, so we didn't know how bad the reaction could be. It's only now, after having done it so many times by mistake, I know, cool, I'm going to generally be okay.
Okay, so here's my thing. I believe that you're allergic to nuts, but I'm not sure that I quite buy this model situation. I'm going with false.
Okay.
He doesn't think you were a cute enough kid.
I didn't go there.
Wow. He hasn't seen my forehead when I was a kid.
Do you know what? I'm kind of going to side with Alex, only because the way that you were like, first of all, you said about eating the cake, then you said actually you're just going to hover in the rim of the cake. I feel like there's just a lot of like detail that wasn't matching. So I'm going to say, yes, you're allergic to nuts, but maybe you didn't have the opportunity to model eating a cake with your nuts.
Wait, hang on. I want to see what Ash says.
Why do I have to vote?
No, come on.
I believe you. But I don't know why I believe you, but I feel like because I'd like to believe
true.
You.
Because it's true.
Oh!
Yeah. Well done. Soz. Jesus, you got me there.
Soz about that.
Ash, hit me with your fact.
I feel like I had embarrassing facts on previous versions of this podcast. So this one is actually slightly cooler, which is that I was the lead singer in a Led Zeppelin cover band when I was in school. And I played with this band for 2 years, and I had never listened to Led Zeppelin. But my friend who was the, I know. But my friend who was the drummer would hum the songs to me, and I would just sing what he hummed.
Sing a Led Zeppelin song for us then.
I can't even do it without Eric Bagan here to hum it from the drum kit, you know.
No, that's a lie, and I'll tell you why.
I don't know. Also, I'm not sure I could reliably tell you which the Led Zeppelin songs were.
No, but listen.
It was all a very poor situation.
Imagine you're a kid, right, and someone goes... Someone starts singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, so they're like, if you've never heard that song before, even if someone puts the words in front of you, you're not going to know the pacing and the spacing of those words. You might be like, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, you know, I don't think you'd have that much musical intuition.
I'm just going to roll with the previous sort of facts you've given me across other podcasts. I think you're telling the truth because you always tell the truth, Ash, from what I've seen so far. Is it true or false?
It's true.
I knew it.
That's so true.
We were terrible. I mean, like, really, really terrible.
Yeah, you didn't know the words.
I didn't know the words. I didn't know the song. I didn't even know who Led Zeppelin were. But I think that my friends who were in the band, they were huge Led Zeppelin fans. And I think they felt that my way of singing the songs was so innovative and different that they really liked it. So we did do that. I mean, no, we were not popular. I can assure you of that.
Okay, so you guys know we're talking about influence today. It's it's a big topic. What do we mean by influence, Ash, and how do we get it?
Okay, so I think what we mean by influence is some ability for a person to affect another person's decision-making at one level. And then at another level, I think it's also something a bit softer than that. You know, like if we think about musicians or artists, then they can talk about their influences and it's not really a specific decision. It's more, you know, more like a style. How we can get influence, I think, is a really, really interesting question. And there's probably a lot to be said for that. But at a basic level, I would say in neuroscience, when we study influence, what we're looking at is has something to do with confidence and the sharing of confidence. So basically, if you and I are collaborating on a task, if we want to get the best outcome for you and I to work together, we should go with the one of us that has the most confidence about the situation. If we assume that confidence means like capability, right? I would say that's how neuroscientists end up studying this question.
Munya, obviously you have hundreds of thousands, like over 500,000 followers just on Instagram alone. How fast did that sort of happen? And what do you put your success down to?
Well, it happened quite quickly because in lockdown, audiences were always looking for new content and everyone was on their phone. So it was quite an easy period for growth. And I think a lot of people did. For me personally, maybe it's because not so many people have done satire on a platform like Instagram before. Typically, we don't log onto Instagram and expect that kind of content. But, you know, I tried it and I found an audience that it resonated with. And I think the key to keeping an audience is just for them to know kind of who you are behind the facade that you put out there. When I get on my Instagram, a lot of the time my hair isn't very combed, or yeah, I haven't performed emergency surgery on my eyebrows, which even if I did, wouldn't make a difference. So I think once people kind of gain a sense of, okay, you're not trying to convince me that you're perfect, there's a little bit more trust there. So I just try to be, with my sketches, I obviously try and be very fictional and I'm creating these characters, but when it comes to me, I try to be very authentic.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think what's interesting about what you're saying there is the relatability of your actual real life personality as well as the personas that you're putting across to people in your comedy, mm-hmm. and making sure you balance that well. Ariel, you have two outlets. I mean, you've got social media, but you're also a Radio 1 presenter. Does that differ in any way, the messages you convey across those?
A lot of what I do on my Instagram is from me being in the studio, which I think people enjoy because I have fun in the studio. It's like, for me, it's my dream job and I really enjoy it. So I really wanted to share that in a different medium other than just you hear my voice. Also spread a bit of joy. Like what Munya said, like it was, people were consuming on their phones constantly and it was a time where people maybe wanted a bit of escapism. So if I'm being a bit bonkers and a bit silly in the studio, it's quite nice for people just to have 10 seconds of just going, what's she up to now? So they go hand in hand, and I definitely have different messages that I have to stick by. BBC obviously has a lot of things that we have to be impartial on, and other things not so much. And so yeah, there's some things that I definitely will probably risk a bit more on my Instagram than I would in the radio.
Definitely. And you've both mentioned there using your influence that you have built for good things such as escapism and positivity. Have you ever been a bad influence?
When Instagram first came around, I got really excitable about going on Instagram stories when I'd had one too many drinks. And at the time, thought it was really hilarious. And then I'd wake up the next day and be like, oh.
You got the fear.
You just see me like kind of descend at a festival, yeah. For example. And I've very much cottoned on quickly that I just don't need to be doing drunken karaoke in the taxi home from a night out, because it can very easily just go from being entertaining to just being absolutely like annoying as hell and instantly gets people. So no, I had to learn to not put post when a couple of gins in.
Sure. So you've got that filter now that you put on when you have too many beverages.
Yeah, maybe just like maybe one tequila, two tequila, fine, three tequila, no. Just avoid. Get the phone away free.
What about you, Manya?
I remember when I used to live in Zimbabwe, obviously it's a very free-spirited place, you know, you play out in the garden a lot and stuff like this. And you know, when you were keeping, the grass in Zimbabwe is very different to England. It's not like, you know, low and flat. It's huge, like towering grass. And the gardeners use these things called slashes, which they go through the garden and then cut this grass down to size. Anyway, I figured out that if you straighten these slashes, essentially you can have a sword fight. And so I would trick my sister into sword fighting with me, because I was like, no, this is what happens when you go to school. You have to learn to sword fight now so that when you go to school, you do well. And we'd be like sword fighting with these things, and like bits of metal would be coming off on her finger and she'd be crying. I'd be like, look, no, come on, you got to fight through the pain, fight through the tetanus. So yeah, I basically influenced my sister to become a sort of medieval swordsman.
Fair play, jeez. Ash, Munya there has influenced his sister into becoming a sword fighter. Ariel perhaps influencing people to drink too many drinks on a weekend and enjoy themselves. Is that one of the dangers of social media, is how we can influence people without them actually realizing they're being influenced?
Yeah, and I actually think it's also a danger for Munya and Ariel, because you don't realize that when people look up to you, you don't really realize the ways in which you might be influencing them. I mean, I think for many people in their position, it's kind of surprising to find that people are dressing like you or talking like you, or that the level to which you affect people. When people are really influenced, we're unaware that our opinions have been changed. You know, it sort of sneaks in through the back door, and then you suddenly find that you're making decisions in a different way. I mean, we probably all have this experience, like when you meet someone you really like, and you start mirroring their body language, or you start mirroring the kind of words that they use in conversation. I mean, I've certainly seen this in my son, who's 12, and you know, when he makes a new friend at school, like suddenly there's new vocabulary, there's new phrases creep into his language, or he sees a movie that he likes, and suddenly like the joke in the movie becomes kind of his joke, Sometimes he's even unaware that it's the joke from the movie. It's just kind of like become a thing he says, you know? So I think influence is most effective when it's kind of subtle like that.
It's so interesting. The way that people can be influenced by people with huge followings is quite dangerous in some ways, because essentially somebody's own personal opinion can basically be betrayed to thousands and thousands of people who will adopt that same opinion because it's their hero and their follower. I feel like that's a really positive thing, but it's also can be a really dangerous thing. I guess who's the weirdest or funniest influencer you guys have ever seen? My personal one is Carol Baskin when she became famous and started doing cameos and like shout outs to people. That was just so weird and baffling for me.
I always say Daisy May Cooper at the moment is killing it in terms of just like calling people out, but in the most comical and hilarious way. For me, it's lovely to see a woman break through the bullshit a bit. And I would say maybe Olivia Attwood from Love Island, she's kind of similar. And it's kind of like, I'm going to not do what I want, because it's not an entitlement, but just as an, I'm going to call you out on your bullshit, but do it in a way that isn't like offensive or horrible to that person or cancelling them or whatever. So I love this kind of movement of like, we have freedom of women being able to call people out on their bullshit, which is not necessarily a freedom they've had before.
The Daisy May Cooper thing was unbelievable.
Brilliant. Genius.
Yeah. I want to write about my boyfriend's wonky knob was, I think, her term.
And now she's number one in the priority.
Yeah, and then she made it. It was sick. It was completely great. What about you, Munya?
I get influenced by superhero movies a lot. But I remember coming out of like Spider-Man 1 and sort of trying to get out of the exit before everyone else by like running up the wall. And then being taken to sort of a play area straight afterwards and just, you know, backflipping off the vending machines and stuff, being like, no, I can do it. I really can do it. I even went up to the shed at one point and was just looking for spiders to bite me. So I think, you know, Marvel really needs to be careful about the kind of rates of poisonous spider bites that they're encouraging in their audience.
That's incredible.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, of course, people influence each other all the time in various different ways, but in The Circle, it pays to be an influencer. In episode 12 of The Circle, new girl Pippa has invited Manrika, Gemma, who's played by Hunter, and Dorothy, played by Scott, to a girly chat. Take a listen to this clip and let me know what you think.
Pippa has invited you to a girl gang chat. How bloody wonderful!
I need to lick some arse in this chat and also show some personality.
It's interesting she's invited everybody, so obviously I've got to be a bit careful what I say, but really I just want to target Pippa and hopefully I'll be in her mind when it comes to the influencer.
Circle message. Morning, girls. Loads of S's, exclamation mark, red love heart. Just thought I'd make a chat to say hi and check in on you all. Smiley face, kiss, send.
Message. Morning, ladies. Love a group chat with the girls, especially when we've got a new boss ass bitch added to the clan.
Starstruck clapping. Currently doing my makeup. How was your first night, hon? See, I like her too. I honestly like these girls. Circle message. Absolutely loved my first night here. As I'm a newcomer, do you guys have any words of wisdom for me? Send.
Message. Words of wisdom, question mark. Be yourself, laugh at every opportunity and bloody wing it. Laughing face emoji. When I say bloody wing it, I've got post-it notes on my fridge, a notebook full of notes, each day planned out of what I've written, each writing planned out of what I've written, but I'm not going to give them my tactics, am I now? Gemma, you look insane, hun. You don't need the gym. Love struck emoji. Send.
So great that Manrika's gelling with me a bit here. Seems like genuine, doesn't she, with these messages?
There you go. So, I mean, just so you guys know, we've edited that clip for the purpose of the show. We're not changing The Circle, I promise. Off the back of the clip, what do you guys think? What's your thoughts on those characters and what they're doing?
Well, I think what you can ascertain about influence from that clip is that sometimes there's this sort of hyper flattery that happens when we're trying to get someone on side. You know, all of the real kind of sickly sweet, loads of kisses and these emojis and babes this and hun that. I think a lot of the time it does come across as disingenuous, especially in everyday life. Like if you're watching someone and they keep on kind of using all this hyperbole and stuff, it puts us on edge because we think, is everything really that perfect? Are you really that nice? And that's why I think a lot of the time, you know, people like Daisy May Cooper who just tell it as it is are the people that resonate more strongly because there's no facade. It's just like you're getting the real 100% authentic product. So when I watched that clip, I just thought, okay, I didn't feel any real camaraderie. I just thought this is straight game playing.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. I mean, when I was on the show, I sort of strategized myself into a place of influence as well, in obviously a fake way because I was pretending to be a woman. However, I think the way that Manrika's doing it is quite interesting. Have you guys ever portrayed a different version of yourself to get extra likes or extra influence? I certainly have.
Oh, yes.
It worked in the show, I'm sure. It works in the circle, definitely. Mm. I don't know if I've ever been guilty of it because I instantly get my back up if I feel like someone's being too nice or too forward or too... I instantly am suspicious of it. Not to say that I want everyone to come in like cool as a cucumber or whatever and like so laid back, they're horizontal, but it's just that thing of like, if you're so lovely to me from the off, I'm like... What's going on with you? What's wrong with you? What's the agenda here? So I don't know what that says about me being suspicious of everyone, but I have to give Mooney, for me, it would get my back up a bit. But it worked for her, didn't it? It works in that episode. Like she gets rated, she becomes influencer and she rates really high, doesn't she? So it's interesting because I think it's very different environments from being face to face and being through a screen and on tests. Like messages get misconstrued all the time, don't they? Like even like my best friend, I can still not understand that her tone of what a text was. So I find like that is a whole other like challenge that I can't really relate to because I've never been in a box on my own communicating only via like a messaging system.
Yeah. Manya, have you ever done anything shady to gain influence?
Yes. So I used to, in the early days when I was looking for a manager, and, you know, they didn't want to hear about it because I didn't have any followers and stuff like this. I used to email them saying that I was Idris Elba's brother. I used to put that in the title of the email. And then I'd write this whole email. And then at the bottom, I'd say, I'm not actually Idris Elba's brother. Please give me a, you know, please manage me or whatever. And, you know, it worked kind of. So it got me into two meetings.
That's amazing.
The rest of them probably like, wow, Idris Elba's brother has terrible grammar. Who would have thought?
Amazing.
I think one of the things that's really interesting about that clip and about influence in general is this idea that if someone influences you, you feel that they've understood you. So it's really, really important to kind of project empathy so that the person listening feels understood. If you think about like a celebrity that you admire, everybody thinks, oh, that person would really get me. Like, I'm really sure Brad Pitt would think I was awesome. You know, and that's why he has influence, because I feel that he would understand. I mean, I don't think Brad Pitt would, but I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like in general. So I think empathy or projecting empathy is really important. If you're thinking about what does it take to gain influence? But I think the other thing that's interesting is that it varies depending on how much influence you already have. And there's a famous theory about this by these two writers called Bayeri and De Groot. They published a paper which showed that if you have low influence, like you're starting out at the bottom level, then you should project high confidence. So you should state things like, I'm sure about the outcome of this election or whatever. But if you have high influence, like you're already really, really influential, you should be very, very cautious in what you say.
Interesting.
And so the way that you gain influence changes as you start to get influence. And I think that's kind of interesting because, you know, on the circle, some of the characters are coming in as new members of the game and some have already been there and already have influence and they have to have different strategies.
What do you guys think the winning strategy is going to be on the circle? And who do you think is going to win, more importantly?
Yeah, the winning strategy, I think, is just not being too sincere, not coming across as being too, you know, pally, because I feel like in a game where strategy is what wins, people will expect you to be nice. Sometimes surprising people by being a bit maybe frank or blunt or maybe not saying what you think they want to hear will give more assurance that the person is actually who they say they are.
Very good.
So I'd say it's a happy medium between kind of, you know, not being too cheesy, but also kind of being a little bit blunt when needs be.
How about you, Ariel?
I can't call it. I was going to say just pretend you're an old lady because nobody wants to offend the old lady. So that's why Dorothy is like flying high. The character of Dorothy is this lovely old dear who's really interested and polite, really inoffensive, super kind of enthusiastic towards everyone without being too much and like some this disingenuous thing where making anyone suspicious. So yeah, just be over 75.
Awesome, guys. Listen, thank you so much for joining me today, Ariel, Ash, and Idris's younger brother. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today on Dishonest Fun, the official Circle podcast. To keep updated with us as new episodes drop, make sure you subscribe and let us know if you're enjoying it by leaving us a review. It really helps other people find us. Of course, the rest of the Circle is going out on Channel 4 all this week. And the next time I see you, we'll be exploring trust, or lack of it. Thanks, guys, and see you soon.